I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Going on, OTB Nation. Welcome into episode number 315 of the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB, it's Deej. We got a lot to dive into from the NLL, the PLL, and of course the college game as well. But before we get into all of that, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/OTB LaxPod. And of course, follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. Deej, I've been looking at the podcast charts. We typically do it on the Sunday shows, but last night when I was recording, we got a full on like raw reaction to me looking at the main pod because we've been slowly climbing up in the U.S. sports charts over the past month or so, and we are right on the cusp of breaking into being a top 1,000 sports podcast in the U.S. for the main pod.
That's dope. With how many there are out there, 1,000
small is little independent Philly sports show. Just doing the damn thing. Let's get OTB on those charts, too. Keep subscribing. Leave 5-star ratings and reviews on Spotify, Apple. Subscribe on audio. We're closing in on a milestone on Spotify followers as well. So keep subscribing. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Underground Sports Philadelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show every week. Full video episodes of every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams. We're going to be doing a ton of live streams for March Madness that DJ and I will be a part of that you won't want to miss out on. Schedule is up on the main Instagram and Twitter accounts, so definitely go check that out. We're at 751 subscribers right now. Let's get to 800 before the end of the month. Let's keep that pushing. And of course, subscribe to the Outside the Box podcast YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/@OTBLaxPod. Let's get that channel to 25 subscribers before the end of the month. Let's make that happen. But subscribe. And of course, get your merch. PHIapparel.co is the place to do it. You want to stand out in the crowd with your OTB merch. The best place to do it and the only place to do it is with our friends at PHI Apparel Company. And if you're a Philly sports fan like myself, they've got you covered for the Phillies, the Eagles, the Sixers, the Flyers, the Union, and of course, Philly-centric merch. Stand out in the crowd. Go to PHIapparel.co and use code UNDERGROUND when you go to check out, and you get 10% off any and all merch orders. Most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing. So go to PHIapparel.co and use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your merch orders. Deej, I don't know if it's purposeful or not, but your camera is back.
Bro. I don't know what just happened. I just like bugged out for a second. So I did the old school unplug and plug back in.
Did you put it in rice? Did No. You try blowing in the cartridge? Before we get into NLL, last week I put a tweet out and a post on Threads. No breaking news action, as I have been privy to over this free agency period with some PLL players, that the Redwoods are re-signing attackman Ryder Garnsey, friend of the program, Ryder Garnsey. Very reliable sources that I trust 110%. And I know a lot of people were like, are you sure? Some people, you know, were questioning whether or not the information was correct, because to this moment, the Redwoods have not officially announced that that deal has come to fruition. Number one, I want to put this out there. I don't report on anything unless I, in my heart of hearts, have fully and correctly sourced it to be 110% correct. That's just how I operate. That's how I have always operated. You guys, if you see me putting out a breaking news tweet, post, whatever it may be, just know I've done my due diligence. There's no need to question if I'm sure, if there's any mishaps. I have done the due diligence. My belief right now, there's just some, this is no knowledge, this is just me speculating, there's just some semantics to get done. Ryder has vocally, in press conferences and throughout all of last season and years past, said he's not going to put on another uniform. He wants to spend his entire career with the Redwoods. And for what it's worth, because when I put that out there and I was getting a bunch of backlash from people, I called my man, my partner in crime right here, and I said, did I word this wrong? Did I do anything wrong? I want to let everyone know. I put it out there saying the Redwoods are re-signing Ryder Garnsey. Let me say that again. Are re-signing. I didn't say have re-signed.
Are is a present tense verb, meaning they are in the action of doing said thing. Not that they have done said thing.
I didn't put any contract details out there of length, anything like that. I just said they are re-signing Ryder Garnsey. And for what it's worth, too, since I put that news out there, the Redwoods have posted a graphic showcasing their offense with Ryder Garnsey still involved. Now, to me, just being a pro sports fan in general, if a team had no intention of re-signing a player, they wouldn't be including them in social media promotion like that. The other part of this that everyone should realize, that Ryder is going to be re-signing with the Redwoods, is our good pal, Jerome, beat writer for the Redwoods, will be on this show soon. Caught up with Nat, talked the Chris Gray trade, which we'll talk about later on in the show as well. Mentioned Ryder a number of times in that article. I don't think a coach and GM who has no intention of re-signing a player would be bringing them up in future plans of said offense if that was not the case to bring him back. Just wanted to get that out there. Again, I know the Redwoods have not officially announced the news. Our luck, though, Deej, is they will either do it while we're recording now, or as soon as I hit end recording, the Redwoods will announce officially that Ryder is back, because that's just how things work for us. But thank you to everyone who has trusted me, will continue to trust me, and knows that the integrity of this podcast means the world to me, and I wouldn't put anything out there that would endanger the integrity of this show. So without any further ado, Deej, do you have anything to double down on with that?
No, the biggest piece is pay attention to the verb usage that is being used. What verb is being used will tell you how you should react to it. For those of you that are wondering when the word are is used, simply just say, okay, they are in the works for that. It's happening. I'll be on the lookout for the official confirmation that has contract details and et cetera in it. And then our next graphic would be have signed, which means the action is completed. They're two different things. This is something we have to get used to in the lacrosse realm. We see it in football, see it in basketball. You see the R's going out in other sports because they have gotten information that they are in talks and that they are, when you hear R, it's like, we both agree that we want to do this. We just haven't figured out the full details. We're both like, yes, as soon as we get the full details hammered, dotted lines will be signed. But for now, we have to hammer out details. We see this happen in every sport. So no, we shouldn't be jumping on people that put out information such as blank and blank is signing blank and blank.
And props to the people who hit me up to just be, you know, a boost of support and, you know, making sure I was correct in my doings and, you know, supporting the boy right here. Appreciate those people. I'm not going to name drop them, but they know who they are. And big shout out to the people who put the breaking news out there and crediting me, not only just with this, but all free agency long. It means a lot. But yeah, the PLL portion of the pod will continue in just a few moments, but let's get into the NLL Deej and recap week 16, because it was a doozy of a week, a lot of interesting scores, a lot of interesting outcomes, and some games that feel like the score should have been flip-flopped. And by that, I mean, certain games should have had the scores of other games. This is how week 16 went down. Halifax gets a big dub at home in front of a sold-out crowd against Panther City, 13-9. San Diego holds off your Roughnecks 7-6. Vancouver, with the ultimate upset, wins towards the buzzer or at the buzzer. Adam Charlambides puts it away 13-12 against Vegas. Rochester comes out victorious once again against Albany 11-10. Buffalo holds off Toronto 14-12. Philadelphia Wings, baby. Biggest margin of victory of the entire week. Big 13-8 win over Redacted. That's how it's done, boys. Well done. And then the Saskatchewan Rush. The offense came to life in an absolute track meet against the Riptide. The Gatorade Bowl that will only last one more game, I believe, because I believe they play each other again this week. But it's the Riptide Rush game. It's the Gatorade matchup of the week. Saskatchewan wins 17-15. To have our standings looking like this. Toronto in first place at 11-3, and they have clinched a playoff spot. So there are still seven spots up for grabs, but Toronto is in courtesy of the Wings victory this past weekend. San Diego and Albany are both 10-4, but San Diego leapfrogs Albany now for second place, Albany in third. Halifax holding on to that four seed at 8-6, Buffalo at 7-6, Redacted at 8-7. Rochester is sitting at 500 at 6-6. Panther City is at 6-7. And then we have the teams that are just outside of the club looking in. Saskatchewan 5-6. New York 6-8. Philadelphia 5-7. Calgary 5-8. Colorado 4-9. Vancouver 4-9. And Las Vegas is 4-9. Deej, your takeaways from the week that was week 16 in the NLL.
Embarrass me.
That is 14-minute mark.
The Rochester-Albany game was everything we thought it was going to be. Absolutely loved everything about that. Shout out to Buffalo. Like, that game was that was one of the few games I got a chance to sit down and watch this weekend. That was a phenomenal game. An absolutely phenomenal game. A game I would watch again. I probably will end up watching that again this week. The offense, the defense, the goaltending, all of it transitioned. It was great on both sides. Halifax Panther City was also really exciting. And then I stayed up a little late Friday night, catching that San Diego Calgary game, and even though we did not come out with the win, wow. What a great game. And the goalies, Crystal Riglieri and Christian DelBianco, more than showed out. It was a crazy game. There's a reason my display name on Twitter is Tank DelBianco. He is literally a tank. A literal tank. And he looked great in net this weekend. And then the New York and Saskatchewan game was awesome, too. I caught the tail end probably the last 2.5 quarters. And the way New York fought back into that game and the energy and the back and forth once they started getting going and applying pressure, that 2.5 quarter sequence might be one of the most exciting 2.5 quarter sequences we've seen all year.
Yeah, the obvious one that stands out to me is huge, massive win for the Wings, a much needed win to keep their season alive effectively. Because if they fall to 4-8, you can kind of just pack it up, pack it in there, and get ready for the draft. But huge win against a big time rival that I didn't understand whatsoever watching that game. The broadcast crew talking about how there's not much of a rivalry between and Philadelphia, and I gotta bleep myself there at 16-17. I was like, there's a big time rivalry between these two teams. There's been some bad blood over the last couple of years. These teams play each other extremely close. This was the first non-one goal victory for either team in the last, I think, 7 matchups it was. These two teams do not like each other. It was very evident during this game in particular. It got very chippy throughout. I didn't understand that notion whatsoever. They were trying to compare it to like Philly's Braves and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it's in that same echelon. Like, these two teams do not like each other. But it was a big time win. And I put this out there too, because we were talking about it on the show last week. When the Wings score X amount of goals, this is their record versus when they don't. They're now 3-1, Deej, when they score more than 12 goals in a game.
I guess the bigger problem is there's been 8 games that they haven't scored 12 goals in.
And they've won 2 of those.
That's also a problem.
Yes. So, like, it's very evident that when this offense plays well, they win games. And this is an offense that you and I discussed last week, and we've talked about it all year. This offense should be scoring more than 13 goals a game. They should be pumping goals into the back of the net on a level like Toronto, like Sandy. Like, they have the offensive firepower to compete with the top dogs in this league. And the defense over the last month or so has played extremely well. Zach Higgins has been the MVP of the team all year long. And when you're holding teams to below 10, that should be a 99% hit rate to win. And that's what they did. They took care of business, big time road victory. And now this coming week, they have Vancouver coming to town, who they're frisky. You can't take them lightly, but that's a team that the Wings should be able to beat and kind of get their season back on track, which is exciting if you're a Wings fan down the stretch to be able to be in this playoff hunt and hopefully clinching one of those final 2 playoff spots towards the bottom of the unified standings there, because those are firmly entrenched. And the nice part, too, is if Redacted slips a little more, the Wings only face off against them that one time this year. So you have that tiebreaker in hand. So that's a massive W in terms of the overall standings, with Redacted being only one game over 500. If the Wings rattle off some wins and can kind of counteract that, they get the tiebreaker and jump them in the standings.
That's the thing. They got to win some games.
But that's a huge thing to have in hand there, which is also a huge thing for Panther City that already has the game in hand. The nice thing is the Wings will play them again later on in the season in Fort Worth, so there will be another opportunity to kind of even that out, and then it just goes to the other tiebreakers. But only playing a team once and winning that game in a unified standings is huge.
What I don't like is, NLL, I know there's some scheduling hampers and such, but we have to find a way to have everybody playing the same amount of games or relative to the same amount of games around the week. Like, Saskatchewan shouldn't be 5-6 right now. Like, they're at least a game or two or three behind everyone else. One game at the least, but like a lot of teams are two or three games behind. It's like, okay, so where does that really put Calgary, who's sitting at 5-8? Where does that really put Philadelphia, who's sitting at 5-7?
Granted, those two, Philly and Saskatchewan, would have another game already under their belts if that one didn't get postponed. So take that portion, at least with a grain of salt. But I definitely agree with you with what you're saying and the overall premise of it.
Yeah, like they're not too far behind, but it's like just enough to make things jumbled. And it's like, we can be, if we can find a way to have everybody, what is it, week 6 to 17 we're going into, everybody should have at least, what, 13, 14 games played? Everybody at this point?
Yeah, there's most teams with 13, 14. There's one with 15. Saskatchewan has 11, obviously, but it should have been 12. Philly's got 12, should have been 13.
Like, how are some teams having two or three bye weeks already and some teams haven't had one or has only had one? Like, we got to find a way to make the schedule as even as possible to help the standings now that we're going to unified. Before, it wasn't that big of a deal. Now that we're in unified, it's hard for not only fans, but for teams to really gauge where they are in the standings if a team ahead of them hasn't played, you know, as many games as they have. So now it's like, okay, are we actually above this team or are we actually below this team? We don't know.
Which is what Cody Jansen was talking about with the trade deadline too. Like, you can't have, and I thought this trade deadline was better than some we've had in the past, but you can't have an elite trade deadline like you see in the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NHL, like you can have in the NLL in particular, because some teams, you know, you look last week where Calgary was, it's like, where do we really see ourselves? You look at where the Wings and New York and Saskatchewan are, it's like, where do we really see ourselves? Do we make a move? Do we not make a move? Do we trade a player away? Do we trade draft picks away to acquire a player? Like, we don't know where we truly sit in the standings overall. And unless right now you're one of those top teams like Toronto, San Diego, Albany, who are in a double-digit win situation right now, those are the teams that are like, yeah, let's go all in and make a move and try to improve ourselves. The other teams, it's like, we have to be way more calculated because we don't exactly know where we stand.
Yeah, and it just causes confusion all across the board. That's my biggest thing with it is, and like you said, with the trade deadline, like you look at like the NHL, everybody is within a game or two of each other. So everybody can look across the board and go, okay, this is how this team looks. This is how we look. What kind of changes do we want to make? It's hard to do that when things don't line up across the board.
Yeah. A lot of fun stuff to take away from this week. I mean, huge win for Buffalo over Toronto as well. That's a massive win for them. I think they have both games in hand now against Toronto. Not that I think they'll catch them, but that's a huge thing to have. If Buffalo goes on a tear down the stretch here and Toronto drops a couple, that could come into play. So that's a big thing to have in the pocket if you're Buffalo. San Diego and Calgary being 7-6 final was crazy. Like, that felt like it should have been a 17-15 outcome rather than 7-6.
And two other goalies that night, and it might have been.
Yeah. Also, shout out to the boy Marshall King making his return to the floor for the first time this season. Some things bigger than sports, and that was a huge moment for everyone in the league. Wish Vegas could have pulled out the win there with Marshall coming back, but just awesome to see him back with the boys. And I think that's going to be a big boost for Vegas down the stretch to have his presence there. And I think it's just an overall bright light for the league to have Marshall King back on the floor.
Absolutely. I think it's going to help a ton to have a guy like that with experience that enjoys the game and is going to bring a fun atmosphere into the locker room, out on the field, will bring the energy, but it's also going to be able to, you know, help guys like Jack Hanna and Charlie Bertrand kind of step into, you know, the NLL game and the game that they can have as a player and kind of help mold them into the next stars of the league.
So yeah, let's preview week 17. We got a nice little slate of games to coincide with March Madness going on right now. We'll have March Madness streams going on all weekend long. It's going to be so much fun. Tune in youtube.com/@undergroundsportsphiladelphia. We're doing Madness After Dark with the three nightcap games on Friday. By the time you guys are listening to this, the Thursday ones will be over. But the Friday games will be live. It's going to be a ton of fun. So tune into those. And Friday, we've got a ton of NLL action as well. We've got two games on Friday. Looks a little something like this for the week. Get started at 8 p.m. Eastern time. A late start on a Friday this week. No 6:30 starts. Buffalo at Panther City at 8 o'clock on Friday, followed by a 9 o'clock start with Albany at Calgary. Then on Saturday, Halifax at Toronto, big-time rivalry game there. Vancouver at Philly at 7 o'clock Eastern. 7:30 Eastern, we've got Saskatchewan at New York for a rematch there. Rochester at Colorado at 9 Eastern. And then Vegas at San Diego at 10 Eastern on Saturday. And then we've got Sunday evening lacrosse as Saskatchewan heads down to Redacted to take on the Redacted Redacteds. Big time schedule. Saskatchewan playing twice. I think that's the only team. Yeah, Saskatchewan's playing twice this weekend. What are some games you're looking forward to on this slate? I'll tell you right now, Saskatchewan-New York rematch, going to be awesome. I'm excited for that one. I'm very excited for Halifax-Toronto. I'm very excited for Albany and Calgary. I think that's going to be a very physical game, very fun to watch. Another goalie battle between Dougie Jameson and Christian Del Bianco. And I am hoping and praying that the Wings get a home win while I'm in the building, because I'm starting to think they just don't want to win in front of me, Deitch, because every home game I have been to, they have lost, along with Shake Shack being closed. And the one game I was unable to attend against your Roughnecks on Superhero Day, the Wings pulled out a victory while I was not in the building. Something's not adding up there.
You got to find a way to be at the building without being in the building.
I need the boys to realize I'm not there, but I'm there, and they need to win in a big time game this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, like you said, the rematch is going to be good. Friday night, I might end the night crying. Things are not looking good right now if you happen to be a grayscale team, including my own.
You heard that, boys.
Oh, they know. I ain't even got to tell them. They know. But honestly, the most exciting game to me this weekend is the late night, Saturday, 10 p.m. It's something in the last couple of years about Vegas and San Diego taking off against each other that's exciting. I don't know if it's because Vegas is young and they're trying to like make a name for themselves, but they have a couple of veterans that kind of are like, hey, all you people passed upon me and like left me open to be taken by this new team. So like, here, take one, you know, and then it's San Diego, which is like a bunch of old guys, not necessarily old, but a bunch of experienced guys that are expected to be very good and expected to compete for a championship, and they just quite haven't done it yet. So there seems to be just a energy of we need to prove ourselves around this entire game. It's for different reasons, but just that energy that they bring in terms of having to prove themselves really, really brings out the best between those two. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I just want to see Rochester dunk on Colorado. I think that's going to be fun. That's going to be so fun to me.
This is also fun. The last time, this comes from the Wings official account, the last time versus Vancouver that Philadelphia had in Philly was January of 2020. It was LaxCon weekend before the world went upside down. The Wings won that game 18-10. Mitch Jones still played for Vancouver. And there were only seven players from this game that are still on the active roster for the Wings. Deej, can you try and name those seven players that are on the current Wings roster that were still on the January of 2020 Philadelphia Wings?
Blazer?
Blaze Reardon is correct.
Rambo.
Incorrect, because Rambo is technically on the holdout list right now, so he's not on the active roster. I'm saying, like, active, like, playing right now. Because that's what the Wings were.
Benny Mack.
Incorrect. Ben McIntosh was traded for during the Pandy Wandy.
Let me do some thinking here. I'm going to do this. I got this. I'm trying to think of who all is on the roster.
I'll give you a hint. The rest of these players are transition / defense. And one is at the very back end of the defense. Blaze is the only remaining offensive player, though, which is crazy.
Real? Oh, yeah, Holden came up. Okay. Ida?
Isaiah Davis Allen is correct. He is the only transition player. The rest are defense.
Ian Lord.
Ian Lord is correct.
Wags?
Ryan Wagner is correct.
What's that, four?
That is four. You have Blaze, Ian Lord, Isaiah Davis Allen, Ryan Wagner. So you still have three more left.
McCannell?
Incorrect. He is new this year.
Big Cab Dog. I don't want to say his last name.
Who?
Lynch.
No, he was
Lynch Mob. The Lynch Mob. How old is Dominie?
Dominie's new this year.
Okay, that's what I say. I thought he was on
the our roster, but he is younger.
I thought he was on the younger side. Pacers.
Alex Pace is correct.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm almost there.
You're almost there.
Storos? No.
No.
No, no, no. I can tell by his picture.
Like I said, one of these guys is on the very back end of the defense.
Oh. Oh, I feel dumb. Higgy.
Higgy is correct.
Is Tut on that list? No, right?
Tut is not.
Yeah.
He was new to the team last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, last year he was. I don't know. Are you looking at the current Wings roster?
Yes. You don't know if the next person is on this current roster?
He should be. He's wearing a different number this year than he did in 2020. Okay, he's not listed on the team roster right now, but he is on the team. So I will chalk this one up as...
You might as well tell me that one.
Eric Shule.
Okay. I mean, I got 6 out of 7, though.
You did get 6 out of 7.
To have not been tied into the league in 2020. It's the people solid. Better give me my props. That better be clipped. Specific person. That better be clipped. And the people better give me my props on the tweet machine.
Blindly name these Philadelphia Wings players. Yeah, it's crazy that there's seven guys remaining from the second season of Wings lacrosse.
I mean, seven's low-key a lot. It's not a ton, but it's not like...
But then when I look at the 2020 roster, it's crazy looking at how stacked that team was. I'm going to rattle this off real quick. This was the team in 2019, 2020. It was Higgy. Brandon Miller was the backup goalie. This was the defense. Liam Burns, Steph Charbonneau, Nick Finlay, Anthony Joachim, Ian Lord, Alex Pace, Liam Patton, Eric Shule, Nate Wade, Ryan Wagner. Here are your forwards. Kevin Buchanan, legend. Kevin Crowley, Josh Currier, Jordan Hall, Brett Hickey, Matt Rambo, Blaze Reardon, Corey Vitarelli. Transition, Trevor Baptiste, Isaiah Davis Allen, Kyle Matisse. The 2019-2020 Wings are the ultimate what-if situation. Because that team, when the season shut down, was 8-6.
That is what every sports team in the country has said about their 2020 season.
They were so poised to make a play.
Not even just the fans. Whole teams are out here like, yeah, we would have been so good in 2020. Like, stop it. None of us actually know what would have happened.
At least with this, we had like a good inkling of every team because like 2/3 of the season had already been played.
Yeah, I guess with NLL and like NBA and stuff, it was a little bit different. But like a lot of like college teams and stuff were talking about, oh yeah, we were going to be so good. Like, no, you weren't. You were 3 games into your season. You were 3-0 or 2-1 or whatever, and you felt like you were on top of the world. Buddy, you weren't. That's why your very next season in 21, you lost a lot of games.
That year was crazy because that was 3 divisions in the NLL at that time.
Yeah,
it was North, East, and West.
Yeah.
And the Wings were a game and a half back of first place in the East, had a +17 goal differential. Man, what could have been? What could have been? What a wild time. That's what we're going to do in the offseason, though. We're going to look back at different seasons and redrafts and all that. It's going to be so much fun. Week 17 is on the horizon, though. It's going to be a ton of fun. And we're going to head over to the Pick Pond and give you guys our Week 17 NLL Picks of the Week. Feed some ducks. And it is brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia, who's going to have you covered through all the madness. All the madness. Go to kenwoodbeer.com. See who's got Kenny's on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, who's got a regional going on for the NCAA tournament, New Jersey and Maryland areas. You can also get it at your local liquor store in those markets. Check out the Kenwood Beer storefront as well. Get your Kenny pint glasses, your Kenwood Beer apparel. It's all so, so sweet. Kenwoodbeer.com. Must be 21 or older to do so. Tweet us your Kenny cans. We'll repost them. I'm sure Kenwood Beer will as well. But let us know where you're sipping on some ice cold Kenny's from. It's 4.1% ABV, just 120 calories, 8 grams of carbs. Kenwoodbeer.com. Must be 21 or older to do so. And of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, we get started at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Friday again. Then Saturday, Sunday, what? That is this week in the NLL because we got all 3 days covered. But it is Buffalo. It is Panther City. I got to tell you, I like the way Buffalo's playing right now. They're playing with some swagger. They're playing with some confidence, a little bit of fuck you energy, if you will. I'm taking the Buffalo Bandits to get a road dub against Panther City.
Teams like Buffalo are dangerous because they know what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Buffalo's had its struggles this year, but when is the best time to be playing good lacrosse? The end of March into April and May. Who's playing good lacrosse right now at the end of March into April and May? Buffalo Bandits sure are. I got them down for a win this weekend and probably a few more wins up into the playoffs.
Should be their first game, too, if I'm not mistaken, with Big Paulie Dawson as well. I don't know if he played last week or not.
I do not believe he made the debut last
week. Okay. So it should be his debut on the road there. We got back of the Bird Bowl. It's but Paul I'm Dawson
gonna,
versus Donville.
I'm going to check that real quick. Because he might have. But yes, we do have a back of the Bird battle. I think producer Donnie gets a couple on. I saw a tweet last week too. Like, does somebody think, or like, do they think he's called producer because he, like,
I see, yeah, Dan Lomas tweeted that.
Oh my God, well, great. Yes, Dan, do it again.
How many checks do you think Paul Dawson's going to get on Jonathan Donville? Leave it in the YouTube comment section. Because I guarantee for at least a portion of the game, Paul Dawson's going to be defending Jonathan Donville just for the bit.
Paul did play last weekend.
Okay.
He had a shot on goal, 4 loose balls, 3 blocks, and 2 calls turnovers.
Stud.
So he'll be back out there again.
Back out there. Shout out to the boy. Next up, we've got Albany at Calgary. Big game for your boys, Deej. Big game for Albany as well to try to climb back into that second position in the standings. And potentially if Toronto drops to Halifax, could be a whole lot of chaos at the top of the standings there. But how do you see the teal floored boys holding it down against the young pups of Albany?
I try to say a prayer real quick to give me the right answer. I don't really think it worked, but as much as I want to be loyal right now, I'm not sure I can trust them to beat a team as high as Albany on the offensive end. I think they can slow them down. The defense has looked good. Christian Del Bianco was fantastic in net, but the best you can do is slow down. Our offense isn't scoring at a rate fast enough right now to where we can hold a team to 7 goals and still win a game. Instead, we lose it. So, no, I'm not going to pick them to beat one of the hottest scoring teams in the league right now in Albany.
Yeah, I've got Albany as well. They're coming off 2 straight losses as well to Rochester. So they're looking for some revenge. They're hungry for a win. So give me Albany to get a dub. I do think it's going to be close, and I think it's going to be a physical game, though, and I'm excited for that one. Saturday, we get started in Toronto. Halifax comes to town against the top dogs. Coming off a loss for the first time in a long time are the Toronto Rock. They're at home. Big-time rivalry game. Halifax also playing some good lacrosse right now, Deej. How do you see a battle in Canada going down?
Toronto's 11-3 and in the playoffs for a reason. I think it's going to be a very good game. I think Halifax is going to push them to the brink. But I think after the tough loss last week to Buffalo, Toronto doesn't let it happen twice in a row, especially at home.
With you. I think at home, coming off a loss, they're going to want to get back into the groove of things. And Toronto's going to get a dub. Moving to the other 7 o'clock face-off down at the Wells Fargo Center. Philadelphia hosting Vancouver. You guys already know where I'm going. This is a must-win for the Wings, hands down. Have to win at home. Like, it's rare that you're saying this about a team at any point in the season. But at this point in the season, the Wings have to start winning at home. They've been road dogs all year, have played extremely well on the road. You have to start taking advantage of your home floor advantage. Wings got to get a dub here against an inferior team. You can't take them lightly, though, because they will take advantage of that. But give me the Wings to get a win over Vancouver.
After I just did all that shit talking last week on Vancouver, they came out and made me look like garbage as they took Vegas to absolute town. Like, that was such a good game, but like, Vancouver was in control of that game as well. And it just made me look stupid. But I got trust in my second favorite city in the city in the country. Stop. Stop. We're not doing that right now.
Viva Los Wings.
It is. It is. Viva Los Wings. Yes.
Moving right along, 7:30 Eastern time out on Long Island. We got a rematch of Saskatchewan and New York. I like New York at home to kind of get a revenge factor here. Saskatchewan having to travel across the country, I think that plays a little bit of a part into it. But I think New York is hungry to get revenge immediately after losing last week. So give me the Riptide.
I think they split the home and home. I think Riptide's home games over the next month and a half are going to be super important to them, knowing that's going to be their last times playing in the Nassau Coliseum. I don't see them losing a lot of those games, and this is one where I definitely feel like New York has the upper hand. I feel like they even had it last week, but they caught Saskatchewan coming off a loss and feeling good about themselves at home. So I think New York's going to be able to bounce back this week.
Then we got Rochester and Colorado. I think we're both on the same page here. Rochester's offense has been absolutely nuclear. The duo of Connor Fields, Ryan Smith have been incredible. So we're both going to take Rochester there to get a dub over Colorado. Then we got Vegas at San Diego. Dude, this game is interesting. Lots of interesting things could happen here. How do you see this playing out?
I got Sandy by two. I think it's going to be a little closer than people are expecting it to be. Vegas is going to come out and play. There's not far travel here between these two teams, so that won't affect too much. But San Diego is at home, so I think they'll end up pulling it out.
I agree. I think San Diego being at home plays a factor here. I know Vegas is going to be hungry, so they can't take them lightly, but I think the Seals have what it takes to get a W this weekend here. Final game, 5:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Saskatchewan at Redacted. I think Saskatchewan splits this road trip for themselves. I'm going to take the Rush to get a win on the road down in Redacted.
They made a fool of me last week, but I don't think they're going to do it again. Being on the road is tough, especially when you got to play and get on a plane, sleep in a hotel for like 3 hours, and then play again later that night. I don't like the chances of Saskatchewan pulling one out against. They might make me look like a fool against the Riptide, but the Swarm will win.
Just writing down some bleeps. So there we go. Those are your Week 17 NLL Picks of the Week, powered by Kenwood Beer. We both have Buffalo, Albany, Toronto, Philly, New York, Rochester, San Diego. I'm taking Saskatchewan. Deej is taking Redacted. This is a League Pass team battle as well. So there you have it. Those are your Picks of the Week, powered by Kenwood Beer. And just a programming note, too, we are going to be recording earlier in the week next week because we do have Thursday night lacrosse. So the episode will probably come out on Wednesday. We'll probably record on Tuesday. So you'll have an earlier in the week episode following this week's episode, since Saskatchewan is playing Philadelphia on Thursday for that makeup game. Short week next week, though, Deej. Only 4 games in week 18.
Nice. We need that. It's been a lot of hectic, a lot of like 8-game weeks, 7-game weeks. Like, we need a little quick little, here you go. But enough to keep you engaged and wanting more, but not enough to say, wow, there's so many games this weekend. Which ones am I going to watch?
Yeah, next week it's Saskatchewan at Philly, Buffalo at Philly, Halifax at Rochester, Vancouver at Vegas.
I like
fun,
that.
Fun little mini slate there. As the end of March comes to a close next week. Deej, let's keep it pushing here on our slate and get into some PLL free agency updates. It is brought to you by our PLL app code. Download the PLL app, guys. You know Deej and I use the app all the time, every single day. Deej blows up my phone and I'm thinking he's in trouble and I need to call the FBI. But no, it's just him sending me articles so he can get experience points in the PLL app. You can do the same. I'm not saying text me, but you can do it with your friends. And the cool part is you don't have to text anybody when you use our app code. So download the PLL app in the App Store, Google Play Store. Go to the redeem code section. Use code OTBPOD and you get 500 XP bars in the PLL app. Our boy Patty Pitts used it as soon as he downloaded the app and he upgraded from level 1 to level 2 instantly just by using our code. It's that simple.
Instantaneous.
Download the PLL app in the App Store, Google Play Store. Go to the redeem code section, use code OTBPOD, and you get 500 XP in the PLL app. PLL free agency is pushing on, Deej, and you know I reported that the Redwoods are re-signing Ryder Garnsey. It hasn't been made official just yet, but the team intends to do so. The other big news from PLL free agency that broke since we last recorded, big one, is the Chris Gray trade. Chris Greasy is heading to California. The Redwoods traded for Chris Gray in exchange for the 5th overall pick in the 2024 PLL College Draft. The Redwoods also get back the 18th overall pick in the 2024 College Draft. Huge move. Not unprecedented, though, with a trade between the New York Atlas and the California Redwoods, as these two teams have done business with each other a number of times in the past, dating back to the Rob Pinnell trade, Romar Dennis for Miles Jones. We've seen Kevin Unterstein go from Atlas to the Redwoods. There's been a lot of switch-ups between the Bulls and the Bears in the PLL. And this is just the next installation, but a huge one nonetheless. I love the justification in Jerome's article, which we'll link in the description of the episode so you guys can read that because it's great stuff from him and Nat. The justification here is genius because I think a lot more people need to start looking at just pro sports trades in general that involve draft picks for players. If you look at this draft and Chris Gray was available to you at 5th overall, you're taking Chris Gray 5th overall. And that's how Nat approached this trade. I think it's super smart to utilize your draft pick that way. And the Redwoods still have 4 picks in this draft. They still have 3 picks from pick 13 to pick 21. And we know their hit rate in the 3rd round is true to roof. See Kirstie, Charlie Bertrand. And I'm totally forgetting another player that they drafted in the 3rd round that's extremely talented that Jerome listed in his article, but I will research that while we keep discussing this. But Deej, your thoughts, now that it's been a week since the trade has happened, we obviously were texting instantly when it happened, but now that it's kind of marinated, how are you feeling about Chris Greasy waking up in Redwoods green and gold?
I had to slow you down. Because you swore this meant no Ryder. And I'm like, dude, stop it. It's absolutely not what this means.
And then what happened?
And then you got information right after that. And I was like, well, yes, see, maybe I know what I'm talking about. But no, this gives us a Dodger and a feeder in Pinnell and Rob, RP3. And then you have a pure score in... Like, this team's almost built like a basketball team.
Yeah.
In terms of how the offense looks. Like, you got Romar and Charlie, your big forwards who are going to come in and help you with size and aggression and fire from up top in terms of how lacrosse flips. You really more so want your nice, strong, aggressive guys in the midfield putting pressure on those short sticks, just like you would want your forwards down low, applying pressure inside, making it tough to shoot, grabbing rebounds, etc. Point guard up top, RP3, doing the point guard things from X. You have your pure scorer that is just there to put the ball in the net. That's Ryder Garnsey. He's not there to do anything else but put the ball in the net. He gets some assists and stuff because of the attention he gets, but his job is to score.
The other third-round pick was Nekhai Montgomery. I'm an idiot.
Bingo.
No short stick can guard him.
Right. And then Alex Simmons is coming in, and he's like a perfect six man, almost, as you would see in the NBA. That guy that comes in with a different kind of energy, different kind of game than everybody else on the field. So they have to adjust to that on the other side. And then Chris Greasy is your shooter. The guy posts up in the corner, doesn't do too much, just catch and shoot. That's what Chris Greasy's there to do. He's there to catch and shoot. No matter who the ball is coming from, his job is to catch it and shoot it. And I love the way this offense is coming together. But at the same time, like I told you almost immediately after, I honestly think my first response to you was, I like this or I love this, something like that. But I also said immediately after, there goes NT.
Mm.
Losing that first round draft pick, almost guaranteed. Like, we are 99.9% guaranteeing that the Woods will not be able to draft Liam Entman.
I did find it interesting in Jerome's article that Nat mentioned before the trade happened, he was exploring avenues of trying to move up in the draft, which I also find very interesting because could have been for Liam Entman, but who knows who he was trying to potentially target by moving up in the draft from 5 to wherever. Now, I did find that piece of information very interesting in Nat's approach to this offseason.
If he's able to move up, then we're talking a totally different conversation. Maybe he is still able to grab Entman. But that's my personal like for this team. He's got the Notre Dame connection. He's still tall and lanky. And he covers much of the net in terms of height, but also just his movement and his length. And then he's very great in the clear, whether he's going to take it himself. He knows the right decisions to make. I really like him, but I understand if it doesn't happen, as long as we end up with Chase Erlin. I really think Chase Erlin is also a very, very good goalie. And we've seen brothers be on the same team and it works out. Cannons have the Oslanian brothers. Chaos have the Rowlettes. And I think Wessenames played on the same – the Houses played on the same team, but not at the same time. Or maybe I'm mixing them up and they haven't. I know
they didn't play on the same team, but they played at the same – like Will played
– yeah.
Is still playing for the Outlaws and John played for the Whips.
Yep. So, but we see the success across teams. The Kirsties – oh, Cannons now have two brothers now that they have Connor Kirst over there because
– yeah.
They have Kirst and Ned as well with Colin. So they're loaded. So we see brothers working. Maybe he wants to go get Chase. Maybe he wants to go get CJ Kirst and add him to the offense and put another Kirst with another Kirst. Like, there's so many options he has if he moves up. I really wanted him to grab Entman, but I'm okay with him grabbing Chase Erlin as well. I think those are the two best goalies in the draft. And there's no secret that the Woods could use another goalie. So that was like my one critique of it was like, I thought everything was great about it, but giving up the pick made me feel like Entman was just off the board for the Woods.
Yeah, it definitely changed, I think, a lot of people's outlooks for what the Redwoods were going to be doing in the draft. But like I said, and like Nat said in his sit down with Jerome in that article, if you can draft Chris Gray at number 5 overall in this draft, you're drafting Chris Gray at number 5 overall in this draft. Led Atlas in scoring last year. He's lethal from all over. And what was his quote, too? Only needs...
What did he say? I only need like a second or only need to see a corner or something like
that. Like I just the corner or something like that. Like that swagger that I think this Redwoods team is looking for. So I love this trade. And like I said, you still maintain 4 draft picks in this draft. And GM Nat loves that. Moving right along outside of my report on Ryder Garnsey, the Utah Archers have extended the man, the myth, the legend, Mac O'Keefe through 2026. That's a huge move for them to keep Mac O'Keefe there. The Redwoods have not stopped signing, and they have signed one of our all-name team members, Deej. LSM Malik Sparrow is heading to the Woods. Let's fucking go.
I was super hyped when I saw that come through. I remember watching him at Denver a couple years ago and just going like, this kid is great. And like when his draft came around, like one, it was loaded, but I couldn't believe nobody.
He would have been last year's draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
If not that one the year before, but not too much before. Like, it's either last year or the year before. But either way, both those drafts were pretty loaded. So I understand why he didn't make it, like why he wasn't drafted. But I was thoroughly surprised. Nobody offered him a camp spot. Nobody wanted to look at him, you know, a free agent, like nothing. They kind of just left him out there. So to see the Woods go out and grab that. And honestly, if we're able to re-sign John Sexton, that might be the best 1-2 pole tandem in the league. And that's hard to say when you have Earhart and Squires down the road with the Whipsnakes. Like, they're great. You have CJ Costabile and Troy Ray with the Carolina Chaos. They're absolutely fantastic. Ethan Rawl and Pulver, Jake Pulver, were great for the Cannons. Like, it, you can look all around the league. Liam Burns and Rylan Reese, fantastic for the Water Dogs. Like, I don't know if there is a team that didn't have a good two pole tandem. Jarrett Connors and what's his face? His name was just in my head.
John Robbins.
Yes, John Robbins. Fantastic for the Archers. Like, it's just part of being in the PLL. You need a great 1-2 tandem at LSM. If not, they'll pick on that and they'll take advantage of it. Malik Sparrow coming in, playing LSM is going to be great. And even if they are not able to re-sign John Sexton, that I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you leave OG at LSM and now you're rocking OG and Malik Sparrow. That's fine with me too. Like, there's so many options here defensively. I don't really think it's wrong when you look at the polls the California Redwoods have already signed or already have on roster and who they're looking to bring in. Everybody compliments everybody so well.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, just another portion of what Nat has talked about this entire offseason is the team needed to get younger. They were one of the last original six teams to really embrace the youth movement. And Nat said in that article with Jerome, like, maybe he's, you know, too loyal sometimes and he's okay with that. But this team definitely needed some youth injected into it. We started to see it about midway through last year when you see Kirstie getting full-time game day spots, when you bring in a Kevin Rogers and things like that. Like, you finally started seeing the younger guys get play time. And I think bringing in Malik Sparrow just adds to that. It's a new look for you. It's a new look for both how maybe John Grant Jr. wants to use him on an offensive end and how Chris Collins is going to use him defensively, obviously. But I can't wait to make our first edit of Malik Sparrow scoring and putting the Pirates of the Caribbean theme over top of it.
You're ridiculous. You are ridiculous. I'm Jack Sparrow.
Captain Malik Sparrow. If he ever gets a captaincy on this team, good night.
Nat, you heard it here first. Don't you do it.
Do it. Kermit meme. Do it. Do it.
Now make Malik Sparrow a captain.
All right. Now get ready. Get ready. Now make Malik Sparrow the captain.
Those memes are great.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Moving right along with free agency, though, the Utah Archers have signed defenseman Patrick Schume to a 2-year deal through 2025. Love that for the Archers. He's been kind of one of those guys that is on the roster, then he's not, and has kind of just been in their repertoire of players that they sign when they need him. I like that he's on the roster now for a longer-term deal. The big news for the Archers, though, came across just about 24 hours ago as we record this. They have signed the boy, the man, all aboard the Treasy train. Latrell Harris has been signed through 2026 with the Utah Archers, the reigning short stick, D-Mitty of the year. He's recovering from ACL surgery, looking good. Just celebrated his birthday. Shout out to the boy. Signs a long-term extension with the Archers, and this is a massive move for them.
I like that a lot. I mean, you know, he's coming off the injury and everything, but he was an integral part of their team before he was injured, and I think he's going to slide right back into that short stick D-mid room and only make them better. He's going to be kind of their leader as they went young last year in the draft with Bond and Murr. They did, but they did fantastic in helping them get to a championship and win it. But at the same time, Treese coming back is something you can't replace. You can't replace, you know, Latrell Harris. He's a different type of talent, different type of guy. His energy is infectious. So having that back is going to be amazing for the Archer squad.
100%. I love this move for them, and I love it for Treese. Shout out to the boy. And then just today, Deej, maybe Jim Stagnita does watch the Champ Series, because the Maryland Whipsnakes have signed attackman Kevin Winkoff to a one-year deal through 2024. As part of the Champ Series roster, at 4 points in the Champ Series this year, and he is headed to the Maryland Whipsnakes. I like that signing for them. I think it's another new look for them offensively, to get in the mix with Zed, get in the mix with Rambo, and obviously Brad Smith is on the injured reserve list right now, recovering from another offseason surgery. So who knows how long it's going to take him to recover and everything like that. But I like that move there for the Whips, and I think they've been approaching this offseason pretty calculated. Obviously still waiting to see what Michael Earhart is going to do, whether he's going to retire, come back, because that hasn't been announced. But free agency's kind of gotten a little quiet. Not too quiet. I think some other big dominoes are still going to fall. But we've got the date as well for the PLL College Draft. Tuesday, May 7th is the date for the college draft. It is happening at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which you know what that means, everybody. The OTB PLL College Draft Extravaganza is back.
I have a question for the people. That's a Tuesday where I happen to not have a game.
Let's go.
I practice 6 to 8. There are a couple of options I have here. I can make that a shortened practice where we hit skills and I bring the entire team on
for this. Let's draft. Go.
I could do it from out on the field, or I can just leave them and let my assistants close up practice and do it at home on my own. I'm leaning toward options 1 or 3.
That's where I'm leaning.
And I kind of really like option 1. I feel like my boys out of being on the stream and like being able to like talk, because we always have guests. So like them being able to talk with guests and fire some questions and look at who's getting drafted, that kind of stuff. I think it'd be cool.
So yeah, I think the only thing logistics wise would just be getting, I don't know, like if their schools have the, you know how like some parents like are iffy with kids getting their pictures taken and stuff like that, just like the photo release stuff.
We've already got the photo release, so okay, we're all good on that.
I just had to check on the Coach Deej side of things.
Yeah, no, we good. We good.
All right, we good.
We just had media day yesterday.
Just from a legality standpoint for Underground Sports Philadelphia LLC, all rights reserved.
But I mean, I'll tell them all go home. I'll be like, hey, if you don't want to be here or your mom be tripping or something, see ya. Enjoy.
Bye.
Enjoy the extra time. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow for practice. So I'm leaning toward that, but we'll see what we end up doing. We got about 2.5 months before we're there. Sorry, a month and a half. Wow, I can't do math.
Very excited nonetheless. Let us know in the YouTube comment section. Tweet us, DM us. Let us know who you want to see on the College Draft Extravaganza live stream. Last year, we had Greg Gerenlian, the man. We had Jared Newman. We had a FaceTime appearance from Jack Rowlett. We had Hutton Jackson on. And we also attempted to have the boy Newbie Talks. But his Wi-Fi did not permit him to actually get onto the stream. So I think we need to give Dan his redemption and allow Dan to get onto the stream. So here's the open invite to the man, Dan the man. You are formally invited to the 2024 OTB College Draft Extravaganza Newbie Talks. We need you back. We need you actually on. the live stream this year. So there's the first formal invite. But I would love to have Hutton back on. Love to have Jared back on. Love to have Jack on, not via FaceTime. But if it is via FaceTime, so be it. Let's make it happen. But let us know who you'd want to see on. And let's not forget, afterwards, we had Nat St. Laurent and Andy Towers call in as they were leaving ESPN Studios. So you never know what you're going to get from the OTB College Draft Extravaganza. But it is returning. Very excited for that. And it will be a doozy of a time. Deej, let's shift real quick to the PLL and Unleashed. They were in Japan. The exhibitions happened. And, man, were they wild. The PLL All-Stars win 8-5. And the Unleashed Women's LAX All-Stars tie 15-15 and pull a comeback as they were trailing for a good portion of the game, but they pull the comeback, end up with a tie, and some unreal talent across the board on display in Japan.
Look, all I'm going to say is we think our only competition in these world games and such is Canada and the Haudenosaunee. You have better at opening your eyes this weekend. And if you missed it, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or ESPN or something.
There's a YouTube link.
Go back and watch, and you'll see what I'm talking about. These dudes can ball. These women can ball. Not just in the American jerseys. The ones overseas as well. The Japanese players from both the men's and women's teams were fantastic this weekend. First, starting with the women's sixes game, Japan jumped out to like a 5-1 lead or something crazy like that. Granted, I wasn't fully paying attention because it was like 12:30 at night and I was laying in bed trying to watch and then ended up falling asleep. But seriously, they jumped out to a huge lead. They were fast. They were strong. They were ready to go. They pushed the issue and played great defense and got good goaltending. Now, of course, America did end up turning it on and that game ended 15-all. But the talent you saw from the Japanese women from the first whistle was unreal. And you can say the same thing for the men. Like, I think last year this game was a double-digit game, if I'm not mistaken. I
think so.
And not only did they only lose by three, they held America to under 10 goals in this game. Like, granted, it's not the full USA team that we would see because a lot of guys are playing NLL and stuff, but just these are still some of the best players in the world, in the league. And now we go over to Japan. They only win by three. We have to acknowledge the exciting part of this is that the game is growing everywhere in the world to where people actually love it and are putting in time every single day to be better and want to represent their country and do it well enough to where America's not walking in like, oh, we got this. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, we still got to come and play, even if it is Japan. And that's something we saw this weekend. Was just the immense love and care that Japan has for the game of lacrosse. It was amazing to see.
The only thing I was trying to like figure out, and I forget if we talked about this when the rosters came out. It is weird that the Water Dogs did not have a single player in Japan. They were the only team in the PLL to not have a single player on the All-Star team. I don't know what the reason is. I haven't been able to reach out to anyone to just ask, like, hey, was there a reason? My thought, though, I was talking to CFO Margie about this. My thought process was it probably was going to be Michael Sowers, and then he got injured in Champ Series, and he's probably just taking it easy for now because Michael Sowers went last year. But I did find it strange that there was no Water Dogs representation. In Japan, we had a chrome throwback reversible penny on Justin Anderson.
I did see that.
Chrome was represented.
You telling me the chrome back is still possible?
Don't call it a chrome back.
I'm here for the chrome back.
But awesome stuff. Shout out to hopeful future guest Lizzie Colson too. She has been stud in sixes, bro. stud.
She's gross.
She's so awesome. And, she's so fun to talk to.
Gross in the best way.
I can't wait to get her on the show.
I'm excited because like you got a chance to talk to a lot of people I didn't get a chance to down at Champ Series. So like you laid the groundwork, but it's time for me to come in and do what I do best and
lay the hammer.
Make OT what it is, OTB what it is. I ain't gonna say laying hammer. That's
chill. Timeout.
You said it.
You twisted it.
You said it. I was gonna stay away from it. You were like, oh, you're gonna come lay the hammer? Like, whoa, bro.
Timeout. Get your head out of the gutter there, pal.
That's you, bro. You threw that out there.
Relax. But yeah, shout out to the women's, shout out to Rachel DiCecco too. She coached the Women's Unleashed All-Stars, another future guest of this show. She's the best. And PLL in Japan, another wild six. Did you see Nakai's jacket?
Yes.
Bruh.
Yes.
That thing was unreal.
Need it.
Need. Drop the link, Nakai. Drop that link. Last bit here. It is brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses to prescription lenses, they've got you covered. It's small batch eyewear that is the same quality. It's actually better quality, to be honest. Having used big name eyewear brands in the past, the quality of Tomahawk Shades eyewear is the best in the game. For a fraction of the price of the big eyewear companies, like you're going to get that upper echelon quality for like $35. That's unreal to think about. They've got a great insurance policy as well on your glasses. If they're broken, lost, they love a good story. And they've also got an app, and it's owned by two former lacrosse players, Kyle Harrison, Chris Hogan. Ever heard of them? Tomahawk Shades, download the app in the App Store, Google Play Store, or go to tomahawkshades.com. And when you go to checkout, use our code USP, and you get 25% off your order at tomahawkshades.com or in the Tomahawk Shades app. Deej and I wear the sunglasses all the time, wear the blue light glasses when I'm editing. I'll be wearing them on stream all weekend to protect my eyes because I'm going to be staring at that TV all week. Greatest time of the year, March Madness is. TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app and use code USP for 25% off your order. It's our college recap with Portal Jones. Deej, I do have to pull up one tweet, though, that I saw from the week in college lacrosse that I had to bookmark because I laughed my ass off when I read this tweet. And
I don't know why. It's not like you watch college lacrosse anywhere.
I don't know why it popped up on my feed because it was on my For You page. It wasn't on the following because I don't follow this person. But it was a quote tweet of the Holy Cross women's lacrosse account as they got their sixth win in a row. Shout out to them. They win 19-10 in their game yesterday. And their coach, Amanda Belichick, daughter of Bill Belichick, quote tweeted it. She's the head coach of Holy Cross Women's Lacrosse. Quote tweeted their final score graphic from the team's official account and said, "Nobody cares. Work harder."
Hype. Like, yeah, we won a couple games. We don't care. We still working.
Bro, when I tell you, I cackled out loud. I was screaming because I was like, who quote tweeted something? And then I click on it and it's in her bio on Twitter is just head coach of Holy Cross Lacrosse. I was like, holy shit. Absolutely obliterated her own squad.
Love that. Oh my God. I love that.
Oh, so funny. Shout out to Amanda Belichick. Come on the show. Come on the show.
And bring your dad to coach in PLO. Not on the show. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, it's so funny. I laugh so fucking hard.
Well, jumping into it. That's absolutely hilarious.
I knew you'd get a kick out of that.
That is hilarious. obviously the defending champs still looking good. We're a start Thursday last week. Suni Jen dropping to the defending champs 16-6. An absolutely disgusting score of 24-5 for Franciscan over Brevard. I'm concerned for Brevard because we used to blow out Franciscan even when we weren't good at lacrosse at Adrian. So that's questionable. And Mary Wood getting thrown in here now, because when I was boots on the ground last week at Notre Dame, I ran into my assistant coach my freshman year at Adrian, and he's coaching at Mary Wood now. So I got a chance to catch up with him for just a second down at that game. As I ran into 1,001 more of my players that I didn't see the week or 2 weeks before when Maryland played Notre Dame. So it's always awesome seeing my travel and high school kids out at those games. But yeah, moving on. Marywood drops to Misericordia 16-2 Thursday. Just disgusting. Now Friday is where everything really started to pick up, because we had the start of the Mustang Classic. Christopher Newport 17-9 over Dickinson, Lynchburg over Stevenson 15-9, St. Lawrence over York 9-8 in overtime. Like every single day of the week, I'll take that. RIT over Washington and Lee 15-9, Ithaca over Washington College 14-10. Tufts takes a nice win 19-12 over Hamilton. So that was nice to see. Saturday we had some more of that action. Oberlin took down Albion 13-11. Which I did not expect to see. Lawrence Tech takes down Alma 15-8. So it looks like Adrian's got a pretty decent shot in our conference this year. Dickinson takes down York 11-8. Franciscan with another huge win over Anderson out of Indiana 22-2. Hamilton comes back and beats Lynchburg by 1-16-15. Couple more. Wittenberg over Marietta 14-5. SUNY Gen over SUNY Maritime 17-11. Muskingum over Trine 10-9 is interesting to see. Transylvania over Capital 15-8. Stevenson beats Washington and Lee 10-9. RIT over Tufts 16-11, which might be D3 game of the year, even though it is so early to say. That was an amazing game to get a chance to watch some of. Carthage over Dubuque 14-8. Nazareth topping Coach Nat's Ohio Northern Polar Bears 16-9. Amherst taking care of Colby 12-7. Utica over SUNY Canton 14-3. Adrian gets a huge win 16-7 over Otterbein. So that was amazing to see. Aurora over Calvin 7-6 in a close one. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from my Adrian Bulldogs to start the year. Nothing good on Sunday. I know Tuesday my Adrian Bulldogs took on Siena Heights of the NAIA and took care of them 17-4. So we'll always be checking in on the Bulldogs. D1, let's get to it. This is the exciting stuff that everybody's here for. Starting Friday, there is one game, and man, was it a game. Navy going right down the road on over to John Hop, and they came out with a victory 10-9. Hop didn't really look like they were in this one most of the game. They were kind of a little flat, and Navy took advantage of that and ended up winning it in overtime. Hop has had it tough the last couple weeks, but I think they got some bounce back in them soon. Army continues to just roll as they win 18-12 over Lehigh. Oh, excuse me. Merrimack throwing down Binghamton in overtime 10-9. Townsend takes care of Drexel 16-11 on the road. Jacksonville gets a huge conference win over Robert Morris. LIU takes down the Mott. Of course, Notre Dame smacked all over Michigan 19-9. That was an amazing game to be at. It was still extremely fun. And the double BTB from Pat Cavanaugh and Jake Taylor does, in fact, still work, as I saw it with my own eyes. Once again, we need to all write letters into the Big Ten because BTN Plus has to go. The fact that we couldn't see Virginia versus Maryland because it was behind a terrible paywall for one of the worst streams I've ever seen in my life is disgusting.
Especially since Virginia is and has always been a lacrosse school.
And Maryland has and always has been a lacrosse. This is disgusting.
Well, I'm just saying based off of recent events.
Oh, I know. We ain't talking about that. Don't nobody care about UV. Duke takes down Richmond.
Shout out Connor Schellenberger, though.
Yeah, that boy nice.
That boy nice. He got the analytics department of lacrosse and that boy nice watchers like yours truly being like, damn.
Yeah, nah.
That's a CAWB right there. He's a cold ass white boy.
Anyway, Quinnipiac staying strong so far this year, 14-8 over Wagner. Duke goes 12-3 over Richmond. Rutgers pulls out a tight one against UMass, 10-9. Syracuse over Delaware, 14-6. North Carolina continues to roll on the year. UMBC wins in overtime over Bryant, 13-12. Albany catching the dub over UMass. Lowell. Villanova over Monmouth, 12-11. Penn State took care of Marquette by 6. Utah by 1 over Bellarmine, 14-13. Boston U. Shout out to the man Jack Rowlett and that defense. They've been absolutely great this so far this year. They shut down the Greyhounds from Loyola, Maryland. They win 12-10. Brown starts conference play. Brown starts conference play with a loss to Penn, 11-6. Yale over their bitter rivals, Harvard, 17-15, and what ended up being a fantastic game. Moving on to Sunday, Denver outlasts Ohio State, 9-6. I thought Denver should have beat them by a little bit more than that, but I'll digress. Cornell also beating one of their bitter rivals in Princeton, 15-14, and what was also an amazing game. UAlbany, Virginia was great for a Tuesday night. Defenses were out there, but the offenses eventually got going, and Virginia takes care of business as Colin Schellenberger becomes the all-time leading scorer in the University of Virginia lacrosse. Villanova over Navy, 14-7, which is eye-popping after what they did to John Hopkins. Air Force over Utah, 12-11.
That's one of those things in my mind, not to cut you off, with Villanova beating Navy. Like, that's one of those things that, in my mind, I viewed that as team just got huge emotional win over a top dog type of team, and then you're running high off of that adrenaline and those emotions that you have another game on a quick turnaround like that and another team that didn't have an equal caliber win in their last matchup like that to kind of equate, you know, the checks and balances there, that Villanova was kind of playing with house money. Like, we have nothing to lose. Navy's got all these eyeballs on them now, and you're playing a little tight. You're playing a little more not your loose style of play that you want to implement, and that's what results in Navy kind of falling there, in my opinion.
Georgetown back in the win column, 21-9 over Dartmouth. St. Joe pulling off the upset in the Philly area, taking down Penn, 12-7.
The Hawk will never die. Do you know about that?
No.
The St. Joe's mascot. So you can get a full ride scholarship to St. Joe's to be the mascot. But here's the catch, Deej. I think it's for football, basketball is what the primary implemented. It's definitely basketball. You go to every game as the mascot, but you cannot stop flapping your wings.
The entire time.
The entire game. If you stop flapping your wings, you lose your scholarship.
I only got to do it while I'm at the games.
Correct.
As long as we don't go to overtime. Please pay that bill.
Facts.
I would do it as long as we don't go to overtime, because that's an extra half an hour.
Keep on flapping.
That's an extra half an hour, and I don't know if I got that. Oh, Robert Morris goes 1-1 in conference play. OT dub over Detroit Mercy last night as we record this on Thursday. Queens over Lindenwood in a battle of two MCLA, former MCLA guys, coaching now at those two respective schools. They win 8-3 over Lindenwood. And then the most surprising for some, self-rewarding for others. One of the best games we'll see so far this year. Syracuse and Duke took battle Wednesday night. I'm only halfway through this game on ESPN, so I don't have a ton to say about it at this moment. But Syracuse comes out on top 10-4, and some people felt like it was expected, and others were like, I don't know about all that. But it happened, so I don't know what else to tell you. Moving into this weekend, Army West Point and Boston U going to get us popped off tomorrow night. Tonight as you're listening to this on Friday. Let's get into Saturday and see what's popping. Jacksonville and Mercer should be pretty decent. High Point, North Carolina is always a fun one. Princeton, Harvard doing more of the Ivy League battle stuff up there. Drexel and Virginia. I think Virginia will come out on top in that handily. Of course, even though NJIT has dropped one, they're still an exciting team that people want to watch. They're going to be taking on Binghamton. They should handle that one after coming off a loss to Vermont. Speaking of Vermont, they'll be taking on UAlbany this weekend. Syracuse has their battle with Hobart on Saturday. Georgetown and Richmond, Maryland and Michigan, which I do have this one circled. I won't be there, but I'll be watching, and I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan does pull this one out. But I do have Maryland in my picks at the moment. Yale and Cornell doing their thing. Penn State and Ohio State opening up Big Ten play against each other as well. Sunday ball, Hopkins and Rutgers open up their Big Ten play against each other. And Duke's going to have to travel out west to take on Denver. Nothing fun on Monday. Nothing fun on Tuesday. Wednesday, we get Boston U and Duke, which as Duke returns home, that should be fun for them. Quinnipiac will look to stay undefeated as they take on Manhattan. And that's all the exciting things we have coming up for this weekend in the college lacrosse game.
We, PLL free agency is going on right now, dude. We'll end the show on this. Next week, we've got a free agency of our own announcement that will be coming on the episode. You don't want to miss it. I'm looking forward to it. We've been up to something. It transpired kind of perfectly, if you will. And let's just say the pod's going to get bigger and better.
The pod just got 1,000 times better.
And not that it hasn't been the best lacrosse podcast out there.
The what? Say it again.
The best.
One more time for them all the way in the back.
The best lacrosse podcast on the market. I've just come to terms with like accepting that fact too. Like I'm very humble when it comes to like us, like we may be the best, but we're still getting better, but hands down, I genuinely do feel like we are the best lacrosse podcast on the market. We're getting that much better and I'm very excited about it. Can't wait to let everyone in on the secret. And next week's episode is one of those that you are going to have to set the alarms for, put the notifications on. It's very fitting that next week is episode 316 because glass is breaking like Stone Cold Steve Austin. What? Pod's getting better. What?
What?
We're improving. What?
What?
Wide. Be ready.
They're not ready. They're not ready.
No, you will not be ready for this, but we are so stoked. And I already cannot wait for next week.
Next week's going to be so much fun, man. Oh, my God. I'm so hyped.
And the best part is we're recording earlier in the week. So this news will come early next week.
It's going to be awesome. And We're not going to be pressed for time next week.
Nope.
Because I don't have practice because of spring break.
Spring break. What?
You can just vibe out.
What?
What?
It's awesome. I'm pumped. Make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB Lax Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/OTB Lax Pod. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. It really does help when you guys subscribe on audio. I know a ton of you do already. Subscribe, 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 subscribe to the motherfucking pod. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it with your local lacrosse coaches, players, everybody. Share the motherfucking pod. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. So you get full video episodes of this show every week on your feed, full video episodes of every show on our network. Dive into all the content we have going on. Cause it's nonstop. It's out there. As we're recording this, we're live on YouTube right now. I can't believe I gave the keys to the castle to Patty Pitts to be live by himself across all of our social platforms, but that's what happens. Madness. And of course, subscribe to the Outside the Box Podcast YouTube channel, youtube.com/@OTBLaxPod. Get your merch at phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off your orders. And this has been episode number 315 of the award nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. I'm about to hop onto a March Madness live stream. What? Tune in to Madness After Dark all weekend long for the late night live streams from the NCAA tournament. And enjoy the lacrosse action this weekend from the NLL, from college, and PLL free agency. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here. Peace.
Deuces.
And that's Outside the Box.